The views and opinions discussed on this show are of the guests and host. They do not reflect the views or opinions of associated sponsors or affiliates. Howling at the moon, a sudden urge to eat your cat, or an intense desire to mark your territory are common side effects of listening to and or being bitten by this show. Enjoy at your own risk.
Hey, oddballs, welcome back to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. So glad to have you back here with us tonight. We've got a wonderful guest. But before we get into that, are you sick and tired? Just so sick and tired of the same old when it comes to audio editing. I absolutely adore podcasting, but my Achilles heel, well, it's kind of all that editing stuff. It's very tedious. It's very time consuming. And let's face it, I'd much rather be in a graveyard talking to the dead people somewhere. So guess what? I've got an awesome sponsor called AcuSonus, which actually has saved me so much time. I'm going to go out of my way tonight to actually give you guys a little bit of evidence, a little bit of data here, to, so to speak, about how much time it actually saved me. So this weekend, I've actually had the pleasure of interviewing three people besides tonight's guests as well. And I literally have all my editing done for all three episodes. Like, that's 3 hours of content. It took me, get this, 45 minutes. For anybody who's serious about audio editing, that is like an absolute mind-boggling thing. So give AcuSonus a try. They're down in the show notes. They're awesome. I totally trust them 100%. And you can definitely trust tonight's guest as well when it comes to not being fraudulent. Folks, I've got somebody on the podcast tonight that is very, very, very adamant on, well, as she likes to put it, finding the real wizards and avoid the flying monkeys when it comes to the psychic yellow brick road. I mean, there's so many Wizard of Oz references there. I just had to have this person on because, you know, I'm a sucker for Wizard of Oz. But anyway, tonight's guest is going to really, really talk to us about just the passion of being psychic, using those gifts, and above all else, really how to, like, really find I like to think the word quality psychic, someone who can go back to again and again and again. And I'll be honest myself, I've come across some really, really good psychics, and I've come across some people who probably should not be doing it. Much like the paranormal investigators in my life, there's a lot of really great ones and a lot of ones who are not so great. The good with the bad, you don't have to pay that. I think it's so important that I have this guest on tonight because she's going to really, really, really help us really just spot the right ones. I'm going to hold them to a higher standard after tonight, and I hope you guys do too. She's the author of The Psychic Yellow Brick Road, How to Find the Real Wizards and Avoid the Flying Monkeys. Her name is Corby Mitlead, and she's my guest tonight on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Corby, how you doing?
Great. It's good to be with you.
Thank you so very much for you coming on. And, you know, just before I go anywhere else, like I kind of plug the book right away because just the cover of this thing is gorgeous. And I even just said to you a minute ago, like before I messaged you to bring you on, I was just like, man, this has got to be the most beautiful cover of a book I've seen in a long time. And just really, really well done. So I got to ask you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And before we dig in, I just got to ask you, you must be a bit of a fan of, you know, The Wizard of Oz in order to have this going on, correct?
Hey, we all know The Wizard of Oz. It's one of those cultural touchstones. And when we were looking at a good title, this just happened. You have The Psychic Yellow Brick Road. And then I came up with the tagline, you know, finding the real wizards, avoiding the flying monkeys. And we all looked at each other and said, that's it.
I thought it was really, really interesting. And it caught my eye right away. And of course, you know, I know somebody who, like, to me, the title of that book, I could feel the passion there. The, oh my God, there's people out here who do what I do, but they're fraudulent. They're not doing the right things. And like, I so gravitate towards that because, like, for years as a paranormal investigator, nobody wanted to take me because I was such a wet blanket. And like, nobody wants me out there. And I'm like, guys, I'm not going to fake evidence. Like, you'd be surprised how many interviews I've had on radio myself where people are like, well, can you fake a little something to make it more entertaining? I'm like, no, this is what's really going to happen. So like, there you go. Anyway, one another reason.
I tell people, yeah, look, you want me to be kind or you want me to be truthful? They usually say truthful, and then I hit them with both barrels if that's what they need.
Oh, God, I hope I don't get shot too bad tonight. But one of the cool things, one of the cool things about your book is dedicated to every client I've ever had, from seekers to skeptics, and everyone in between. Without your participation over the past decades, this book would not exist. Beautiful. I'm telling you, man, talk about using your haters as rocket fuel, right? Nice job. And
please, it's how we learn.
Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that just because we do something that's a different type of thing, right? We are suddenly branded as the crazy people or the person who's a liar or whatever. But the reality of it is, well, I like looking at your work and I look at mine. I'm like, we're pretty legit at what we do. And yeah, I'm really, really excited to dig in with you a little bit. So let's just start with the most loaded question ever. And I know you hate getting this because you probably had it 100 times, but I got to ask for the listeners because guess what? Yeah. They're like, they have no idea who Corby Mitlady is. So I got to know, where are you from and how did you know you had this gift?
Okay, first of all, my darling, I have to correct you. It's Corby Mitlied.
Mitlied, okay, there you go.
Yeah, right. You don't speak German because if you did, you'd know.
Yes.
But, you know, yes, people ask me, so I've now got it into a 30-second elevator speech. When I was 9, I read a book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes. And instead of thinking, ooh, that's scary or ha, 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 I thought, and your point is, I knew there was magic in the world. I wanted to go find it. Fast forward to 1973 when I was a senior in high school. And yes, that tells you how old I am. I was working part-time at Spencer Gifts and they had the James Bond 007 tarot deck. And I bought it. We were all hippies then. You had your elephant bell bottoms and the fringe jacket and your deck. Now, 5 years later, everybody else had moved on to roller skates and, you know, disco balls. I was still messing with the cards because I loved the stories that they told. So for about 20 years, I read for friends, making sure that I was keeping my ego out of the way and I was a clear channel for the info. Then all of a sudden in 1994, I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. That's kind of when the universe handed me my draft notice and said, greetings, you're working for us. So I did it part-time till 9/11. And my husband and I watched the towers burn and I turned to him and I said, I need to do the psychic work full-time. People need to know there are other answers out there. He said, I believe in you, go do it. So for one more year, I worked 70 hours a week as an executive recruiter, did the psychic work on evenings and weekends, and after a year said, that's it. Left corporate, have never looked back. I now work 6 days a week, read 1,000 people every year, and I get to get up in the morning. I don't have to get up in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Oh, what an inspiration. I love that. You give me chills when you say it because just because you're involved in paranormal doesn't mean you can't make a living, folks. And one of the things I like about you is that you're very candid. I know that if you didn't think your gift worked, you'd never take money from people. I know that you're truthful. Want to know why? Because like it's written all over you. I barely know you, and it's all over you. It's on the front of that book saying, there's people who do this that are full of crap, and I'm not one of them. And I think that's important to get people across. And just like I could tell people, listen, there's really good ghost hunters out there, and there's ones who aren't that great at it. So I'm glad that that criteria is definitely outlined in that book with you. So I already know that it's the legitimacy that kind of separates you from some of the other psychics out there, so to say. Brings me to my first question, of course. What was your first psychic experience? Like, what was the first thing that ever really happened? Like, that you kind of knew that it was like, whoa, like, yeah, I definitely got something here. Like, 100% sure that aha moment. What was it?
It was literally when I was 9 and I read that book because it made sense. It wasn't that somebody was writing fiction. There was something out there. And remember, it was 1964.
Mm-hmm.
64, 65, 66, you were beginning to get all of the beginning witchcraft stuff and peace and love and what's out in the world that most people don't see. And I was just there. I mean, look, I'm a very right brain person. I am a writer. I was a theater major at Brown University. So creative and finding what other people do not see is part and parcel of who I am. So when I started getting the hits, I would know who was calling. I would know what someone's answer was going to be. I didn't go, oh, wow, look. It was like, okay, fine. That shows me and that shows me and that shows me. Once I really started working with the cards and I would come up with specifics that people would look at me and say, what is this? How do you know? That's when I knew that I was really tuning in to upstairs and what most of us can't get with five senses.
Why do you think, you know, a book like this hasn't been written before? Like, why do you think yours is suddenly this just, well, really a one of a kind? I've never seen anything like this before, where usually it's the how to grow your psychic gifts, and that's it. That's the title, or, you know, something along the lines of improving your psychic abilities. This is not the trendy title that you would expect. This is like, no, there's people out there who, you know, aren't doing this, you know, ethically. I use the word ethically. I think it's an ethic issue. I think if you're charging for this and you're not proven, I don't think you should be doing that. Much like I would never charge for a ghost hunt, because guess what? I can't actually catch the things. I can only catch things that prove they may have been there, right? Yeah. Who do you
think? Well, you know, there are some books out there written by people who are telling you this is how to, you know, have a safe psychic experience and blah, 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 but they're selling the person. You know, if it's written by Madam Stephanie Hooha, at the end of the book, it's pretty clear that Madam Stephanie Hooha is saying, this is all the stuff you have to watch out for, and I'm the good one you should come to. This book is specifically written. You never have to come to me for a reading, never. But if it teaches you, the client out there who wants to go to a intuitive consultant, but not learn to do it yourself. But this keeps you safe. If you know that you can go to someone who is good and you can figure out who that is, well, it's like the old saying, all boats rise. The more respected we are in the field, the more people understand how to stay away from the idiots and go to the people who really care about what they do.
So, you know, one of the wonderful things about you is that you kind of have that, well, bullshit detector. You know, and here it comes. If a psychic can't read a client, like, I'm sorry, but every time I go out to an investigation and stuff, like, I'm not going to always capture something. Does it mean I like to think that doesn't mean a psychic is necessarily fake if they can't read you. You know, like, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask it. You know, is it possible a psychic can't read a client? Does it actually mean they're a fake?
No, not if they admit it. You know, sometimes we just don't connect. And if you are an honorable intuitive, you're going to say, I'm really sorry, Mrs. Kerenswit, but we're not connecting. And you will immediately give the money back. And if there's somebody at the psychic fair or whatever that you know, you might say, well, why don't you go try Judy Abbott? All right, Judy's really good. Now, on the other hand, we can also refuse to read you. Okay. There was a woman who came to me in Canada and she said, I want to know where my husband is sleeping with his mistress. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't do remote spying.
Interesting.
Well, can you tell me how many people he slept with? No, I can't. Boy, you're not very useful. Well, all right. Is he sick? Is he going to die soon and leave me his money? And I turn to my front person and I say, Laura, I'm sorry, but I'm not getting anything with Mrs. Taylor here. Would you please give her money back? And I did not suggest who else she should see.
Yeah.
Because there are certain places I will not go.
Yeah, yeah, like that's 100%. Like, I'm on board with that idea. And the reason why is because I like to think that, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a psychic by any means, but if you truly are going to connect with a person, you want to do it in a positive way. Like, what the hell? And if you're going to tell the sweetest person on the planet, hey, listen, man, you know, you've got like 2 weeks to live. You should probably take that trip to Honolulu. At least it's still coming from a good place. This person sounds like she wanted to use you like as a hitman, like a psychic hitman here.
Yep, but you know, I'm going to step on you right there. Never. It is unprofessional. Immoral to tell someone when they're going to die, because we are not God. And frankly, we've got four or five possible places where we could exit. That's part of our pre-birth plan. You could die at four from a fever. You could die 18 in a car wreck. You could die at 35 from a mugging. You could die at 50 because your boat capsizes on Lake Sacandaga, or you could die at 75 from prostate cancer. The soul looks at each place and says, are we done yet? That's why if you're not done, well, let's take an example with me. In 2002, I overcorrected my car on an upstate road in New York, black ice. I took down a tree, a telephone pole, flipped the car, electrical wires all over it, and I wasn't wearing a seatbelt. I walked out of there with a couple of small bruises. But if someone had said to me, I see you dying in a car accident, I probably would have died of fright. Yeah. As it was, it felt like it was an e-ticket to Disney.
Like in that situation, you're saying your fear would have gave you the heart attack before, you know, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because like I had this thing where I'm like, oh, my God, like I know this might sound goofy, but like, I don't know, I lost some weight recently. And I'm like, I really want to learn how to front flip. And everything in the back of me is saying, you're going to break your freaking neck, dude. Don't do it. I'm like, OK. I don't know. Perhaps it's just trying to protect me from the craziness.
the most I will ever say. If I see that someone looks like they're hitting their end game, is I'll look at the person greeting and I'll say, be sure that every time you see them, you say everything that needs to be said. So that if they died tomorrow, you wouldn't have that grief. That's as much as I'll say.
Wow. That's some powerful stuff. And talk about overselling a client. Good for you. Good for you. I've learned a lot from you just from the speaking. It's pretty cool. And you know, I call it a gift, what you got. Definitely. Like, this isn't a curse. Yeah. This isn't something that was thrown. This is a gift. This is, and it's something you're using. I think that you're a light worker, whether you want to admit it or not. And, you know, psychic ability is a gift.
Why wouldn't I? Light worker, yes. You know, I've been doing this for close to 50 years. You'd think I'd learn a little something.
Yeah, that's right.
But the fact that I could do the hands-on healing, the talking to dead people, I'm now a certified tarot master. You get those gifts. You put them out in service because it ain't you. As John Holland, the famous medium, says, we are just the tube it comes through. It's not us.
Oh, yeah. I like that, too. We're not actually, you know, shall we say, we're not the star of the show. Stephanie, I'm in an interview. Can you please stop calling? Sorry. Oh. God, I'm so sorry. That's my daughter calling me. Why is my daughter calling
me? That's all right.
Okay, it's okay. I just sent her, like, I'm in an interview. She's like, oh, I forgot it was Sunday night. Sorry. I'm like, oh my God, I've only been doing this 7 years.
That's all right.
My kids aren't psychic. God love them. Okay, sorry about that. But yes, we're talking really about the whole idea of having this ability as a gift from spirit. And so why do psychics charge? I mean, to me, it's duh. Obviously, they're going to charge to be able to support themselves. But there's also a little something else to it in my world. Like, from my experience, there's a give and take there. It's not just, you know, take from you. There has to be some giving as well. Does that sound about right?
Well, absolutely. You know, I have written a couple of books. One of them is How to Be an A-Lister at Holistic Expos. And there's practically the same chapter in there. I call it pay fair to play fair. You know, how do you know how much to pay me? Well, look, you've got two psychics in front of you. One of them, you know, she's a good kid. She's been reading for 4 years. Then you've got me, reading for 50 years, in books, have done radio and television. It is my full-time job. You will pay me more. You just will. And if you wanted to see me I used to do 4-day shows in Kitchener. I adore my Canadians. But I live close to Albany, New York. So Albany to Kitchener is about an 8-9 hour drive. So I would drive Thursday night, stay at the B&B, load in on Friday, read 3 to 9, 10 to 9, 10 to 9, and 10 to 6, you know, 4-day show for one, like, Victoria Day. Then and staying at the B&B the entire time, and then drive back. So it's a 5-day road trip, plus paying for the booth fee, plus paying my front person. You have to pay me or you don't get me. Not that I don't love you, but I have put out roughly $3,000 to be at that show. So...
And to me, see, that's the difference. That's the difference maker, right? Like, there's people out there right now who are literally sitting at home and they have their computer and they're just doing readings online, and that's what they do. That's their job. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it sounds to me like you're a little bit different than Miss Cleo that used to be on TV, right? Like, it sounds to me
Jamaican
like...
Jamaican by way of East Los Angeles. Yes, but, you know, you just talked about people reading online. Look, you want an example of the universe has your back when you're doing the universe's work.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
I used to be 45 weekends a year on the road, 45,000 miles in the car a year. My nickname was the Travel Channel. All of a sudden, July of 2019... herniated disc and pinched nerve. And honey, that makes having triplets look like a tea party.
Uh-huh.
Agony. Took me about 3.5-4 months to get back. And the doctor said, you're toast. You cannot load in and load out anymore. You are certainly not going to be in the car for 10 hours. You're off the road. So from November 2019 to March 2020, I had moved all of my business online. I read Zoom, I read Skype, I read Facebook Live. I mean, I have clients all over the world. You know, you're from Bolivia, you're not going to come to upstate New York.
That's right.
What happened in March 2020? We started the year of Murder Hornet Bingo and Hold My Beer. But
didn't see that one coming.
And while a lot of my friends who just read at shows crashed and burned, the universe had set me up so that I did as well last year as I ever did doing shows with less wear and tear on me. So in that sense, I'm off the road. Yes, I was going to do shows locally September, October. They're already canceled because of Delta. But it's a matter of the universe said, we need you to do your stuff. We're going to make it easy for you to do it, even if your body is 66 years old and cranky. But you have to trust us.
I can't stop laughing during this whole interview. You just got this. It's just fire is what it is. It's fire.
Oh, I am funny.
I'm telling you, you're hilarious.
I've done stand-up about being a psychic. So, yeah,
I suck. I can't even keep my questions straight because I'm over here laughing so hard. Like, my eyes are watering and everything laughing at you because I can just see all these funny things. I know that you've rehearsed some of this. I don't think I'm the first person to hear these jokes.
You're not the first person to hear them, but I never rehearsed it. This is just the truth about how things go. And when you've been doing things and you've been mucking around on the astral, if you will, for a long time, you have this running joke with the universe. You do. You don't feel, oh, poor me. You don't feel like God doesn't love me. It's okay, fine. What are we dealing with this time? It's called live the examined life. This is what's happening. Okay, I can deal with it. How am I going to teach with it afterwards? Next. And that's one of the other things that will make a good reader is they don't believe their own press. You know, I take my work very seriously. Me, not so much. And there are other people out there who are good, and I want to find them. You know, it's one of the things that people always found very weird about me at shows. You know, there'd be 60, 70 booths. I'd go find the rookie psychics, and I'd introduce myself, and how are you, and how long have you been reading, and I'd bring them over to my booth, and I would show them the setup, and I'd show them my rack cards and all of my printed information, and I would coach them, and they could take anything they wanted back with them. I said, the only rule is you don't use my words. My words are my words, but if you like the design of my brochure, go ahead. I don't care. Because they're not me. Nobody else is going to have my level of funny, my level of practical, how fast I can read. So they're not competition. They're the next generation. Why shouldn't I help them? You know? And apparently there is what I call bitchcraft, where some psychics feel, well, if you have readings, then I'm not going to get any. And there's, you know, stupid and gossip. I don't have time for that. I need to help raise the next generation. So I do.
I think it's really, really fun to envision this army of psychics out there led by you. And the funny thing is, you're not on the side of the sod anymore, and now you got some real juice. Speaking of juice, you dropped God a couple of times. So, you know, look, I got to throw this out there right away for everyone out there who's listening and stuff like that. You know, just because you're psychic doesn't mean, you know, you're into, like, dark arts or anything like that. Like, everyone has a different, you know, religious background. Everybody has a different just history, well, so to speak. Sure. But you have said God a couple of times. Is that who you think you're getting your juice from?
Look, the way I explain it to people is I don't care if you're Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, pagan, or believe in Ralph the Wonder Dog. I really don't. All you got to do to work with me is know somebody up there loves you, wants the best for you, and is willing to work with you. I grew up a nice Jewish kid in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. What else do you want?
Hey, never knew you were Jewish at all. Couldn't tell.
Can anybody do this voice? Are you kidding?
Oh, my God. I love it, though. I love it. Oh, my God. Her name is escaping me now, but I had her on. She was just the sweetest old lady, the old, really thick Jewish. Oh, it was sweet. Oh, I loved her so much. Anyway, I can't go there. God love her. Can anybody do this work? You know, are psychics somehow special? This is one of the questions that I pulled from your thing, or you say me. And I always tell people, like, I love these guys because this is a really good question. Because, like, everyone's a little bit psychic, right? Like, that's something we've heard people say. And I'm telling you, man, there's something to deja vu. There's something to, you know, a month ago when I was driving home and something was like, you know what? Don't drive down this road. Drive the next one. Like, there's something to that little voice that talks to you, right? Like,
that's right.
Is it possible that everybody on this planet has that ability, we just haven't harnessed and learned it yet?
Without question. Look, we're all wired like the same house tract, but the way I explain it is we've all got 10 fingers. Everybody can play chopsticks. Some people really want to learn how to play well, so they spend time, they do their scales, they practice, they learn to read music, and they can be really good. And then 1 in 35 million is Elton John. But we all have 10 fingers.
And it's funny you say Elton John because Yellow Brick Road and, you know, your book and stuff. Second plug of the book right there. See, no one saw that one coming.
Wonderful.
Okay. So time for some off the wall questions. Here they come. Reoccurring dreams.
Yep.
Reoccurring dreams. What do you know about reoccurring dreams?
Reoccurring dreams can either be something that your head keeps hitting you up with, or they can be classics from psychology. It's like there's not anybody out there that has not dreamed that they're back in high school and they're sitting for a test and they didn't study. Okay. And there are tons and tons of dream interpretation books where you can find that. Sometimes, though, a recurring dream, if it's something unusual, it's got a message for you. If you keep dreaming about a certain house, for instance. One of the things that I can use is I'm a past life specialist. I can do what I call past life retrieval. That's where you have a question about something and I'll go up to the Akashic and I'll say, here, read this. This is what it's about. There was a woman who came to me and she said, I've got this thing about the Underground Railroad. I don't know why. And I said, okay, give me a minute. And I said, I'm seeing a whitewashed room, low ceiling. It's got, you know, the wooden slats on the walls. And you're in a dress, probably about 1862 or three. It's gray. It's got black piping. And you're kneeling by a rickety little iron bed with a very old, wrinkled, thin black woman who is dying. And there are two taller men with you. And all of you are grieving it because I think you wanted to get her across the line to Boston or whatever. And she just didn't make it. She couldn't live. And I opened my eyes because I always closed my eyes so I could see what I'm talking about. And she's crying. And she said, I have had this dream over and over again for 20 years and I didn't know what it was about. So sometimes it's a past lifetime to talk to.
Nah, that's really interesting. I'm so glad I asked that question because I just had this feeling I should ask you about it. Because, you know, we've all had weird dreams and stuff like that. And I'm one of those unlucky fellows who can't seem to remember his for some strange reason. I think it's all the Diet Pepsi I drink. I really do. I swear to God. Anyway.
It could be.
Yeah. Something
but
with
you
that.
Know, this can also segue into something else that you wanted to talk about, which is, do all psychics do all the same things? No. You know, you have a pulmonologist for your lungs and you have a neurologist for your nerves. You have a surgeon if they need to go in and pull something out. Spirit looks at what we're good at in the real world. And very often, that's how we work. For instance, there are a lot of people who use pendulums, those little crystals on a string or a chain, mm-hmm. to get yes, no answers. But I've got a slight benign tremor in one hand, so I don't know that I can trust it. On the other hand, theater major at Brown, a writer who loves stories, and I happen to be a history freak. I met my husband at the old Rhinebeck Aerodrome in Rhinebeck, New York, back in 2000, because both of us had an interest in World War I aviation. And as he says, there was this gorgeous brunette who knew the difference between a Fokker DR1 and an F1 based on the wing skid that had to marry it. So I've got all of these things together. And the universe says, you will be good at past lives because you have two psychics. We see the same thing. The other one might say, well, you're female in that life, and I see you in a long skirt and a big hat, so I know it's old fashioned. Me, I could look at the exact same thing and go, okay, that's a hobble skirt. That's a pitcher hat, that kind of ostrich feather, and you're standing in front of the Brandenburg Gate. We're talking Berlin in 1911. Which one's going to give you better information?
I think I'm going to go with you.
There you go.
It's nice to know the Akashic Records is up above, and there's you know, our earthly version in you. It's good to know.
And the thing is, it helps people. Somebody said, well, I don't think we have past lives or we'd remember them. No, we wouldn't. If we remembered all our past lives, if you're a janitor in Des Moines and you remember that you were once, you know, General Custer, you're going to keep wanting to go back to that life and look at that. You're not going to learn what you need to learn here. We only get to know about past lives when they are specifically useful for where we are now. Those are the rules.
I got a question. Maybe perhaps you can shed some light on this one. You know, one thing about the whole past lives thing is that they seem to jump around a lot. You know, is it possible that, you know, this whole timeline that we see is linear, isn't linear at all? Like, for instance, I might have past lives in the future as well. Is that possible, or is it all linear as well? Like, that's something.
Well, it wouldn't be past in the future, but time is a web, not a line. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, like for instance, you know, like somebody who's dead, somebody who died, like as a small child, for instance. You know, they might have that past life thing happen, you know, a few years later, and the person's 17. You know what I mean? Who has it? They might be older, so to speak. So that soul is like, time doesn't really apply to where these souls are going, correct?
Yeah, what you're talking about is what I call a touch and go. Let's say you've got a child who dies at age 6 months. You know, what kind of karma is that? Well, remember, souls are ageless. Souls are not 6 months. And if that soul said, I'll come down for that really short touch and go, and whatever takes me out, if that means that the doctors investigating now understand about sudden infant death syndrome and can stop it, it's fine. The example, you know, we're going to go back to Elton John again. The example I love to use is Ryan White. Ryan White was a kid that got AIDS, I think, from a blood transfusion. And this is back in the 80s and early 90s when it was a stigma. But Elton became friends with Ryan. At that point, Elton was a druggie and a drinker and was, you know, killing himself very fast. But when Ryan died, Elton was so shook that it got him sober and clean. And in Ryan's name, he started the Elton John AIDS Foundation, which to this day has raised $500 million to fight AIDS and HIV worldwide. You can't tell me that Ryan White's soul didn't come down knowing that he would make a profound difference if he was willing to leave at 18 and go through stuff in the meantime.
That's
called a life of service.
Absolutely. And I like to think that, you ever notice that the people who live their lives in service have usually a pretty small social circle? Like, we all kind of get isolated, I think. And, you know, it's good to know there's other people out there who, you know, are maybe not just here for the ride, man. Maybe they're here for a reason. And I think that's very reassuring to us all. Now comes the part of this where I'm always nervous because, you know, let's be honest, I've been read many times. And I'm always kind of nervous, but every single time I have someone who has that gift and has the legit gift, I always say to them, if you want, you can give me a small reading. It's up to you, 100%. And, you know, once again, though, that's your call. If you're not feeling up to it, you don't got the mojo, that's good. I'm hearing the tarot cards going in the background there. Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, I ate the flakies. It was me. Oh, no.
I'm going to give you the chance to choose what I call one of the subsections.
Okay.
We can do romance. We can do career, which is always my favorite. You know, any of that stuff. What's the most important thing you want to walk out of here knowing tonight? What's biting your butt?
Ooh. Okay, here it comes. I just recently had a massive change in my life. Me and my family just uprooted, basically, and moved to a brand new home. This was, once again, you know, spirit provides for those who are doing work of spirit. I am a foster parent to mentally fragile and complicated children. So we moved to a bigger house.
God bless you, son.
Pardon?
I said, God bless you, son. That is hard work.
Damn right.
It takes a big heart to do it.
Very hard work. My time off is talking to you guys, so which is why I love that. But anyway, that's beside the point. We just basically uprooted our lives to come to this bigger house because we need a bigger house. It's as simple as that. And, you know, spirit really provided there. But, of course, with all that, there's always that fear in the back of my mind. My God, like is this only temporary? Is this only for a little while? Like, I always got that nervousness. There's been some changes behind the scenes at work as well recently, so I'm a little bit nervous about that. So I guess maybe career. Yeah, I'd say career.
Okay,
it's probably where I'm headed.
You want to stay where you are, change jobs, or are you an entrepreneur?
I love what I do. This is just I love it. It feeds my soul. I don't want to do anything else ever.
Okay. So what position are you in? And I'll frame it from there.
Okay. Right now, the position I'm in is a living care. So my family opens its doors to children who have special needs. Like, we have a little girl right now who's undiagnosed, but she's 12, soon to be 13. She got different stuff going on.
Gotcha.
You know, like, it's, and this is child number 7. So it's not like it's her first rodeo. Okay. I love this work. Right. I don't want to go. Great.
A card for you, a card for the kids, a card for the work that you do with them, what you need to know and best possible outcome. Card for you. It's the 8 of Wands. The 8 of Wands is all about communication. I think that you can reach these kids when other people can't, because you understand that while most people will go A to B to C to D, those kids sometimes go A to Z to green to Paris, and you have to be able to match them, and you do. The kids, the moon card. Now, the moon card talks about something coming up from beneath the surface. You talk about one child who has been undiagnosed. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling with at least 2 of the kids, you're going to get not only her, there's another one. It's almost like, you know, when you hit a domino, there are lots of other dominoes that fall. Mm-hmm. When you discover from one, you're going to get at least 1, possibly 2 more of the kids. Something else is going to come up, but I think that they're all going to be attached together. You're going to be able to, you're going to be able to work with all 3 of these kids, and 2 of them are going to really bond. If you can't get through to kid A, kid B will be able to get it through for you. The house itself, High Priestess card. She's the woman who knows and knows she knows. It's the house knows what you want it for and is willing to work with you for it. How old is that house?
This house is relatively new, within 10 years.
Okay.
Beautiful. Just massive house. I got my dream room downstairs, which is just kind of funny, just to give you an idea. Like, because we moved and it was just like this recent thing, like in my room downstairs right now is like all my workout equipment, like all my stuff's on the walls. And right now I have blankets up everywhere down here just to kind of absorb the sound so that we don't echo too much when I record. So it's really interesting that as soon as I walked in, I seen this room and I was like, my God, I can't wait to move here. And, you know, because in my old house, I literally made a small room for podcasting. Like, I went out and bought some Look, and I'm not handy at all. Like, and built a wall just so I can bounce the sound out. So to see that little room and stuff, it was just like, wow, man, like this is something that's going to keep me going to do what I need to do. Right. It was like that little God wink I talk about with people all the time. It was like, yeah, I had no idea this room existed in here until we moved in. And it was like, wow, this is gorgeous. Everyone's like, why do you care so much about that small room? I'm like, because I'm a podcaster and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, new or not, maybe it's the lamp, I don't know. But the house is a being. And the house knows what it's being required to do. And so it's one of the reasons when someone walks in, it's literally like almost walking through through a vibrational door. Okay.
Okay.
If you moved out, whoever would move back in would have to understand that the house is a protective entity. It's just there like that. Okay, we have a tiny little bungalow in upstate New York, and it's solid. And when I walk in the house, it's like everything can drop. So it's that. Now, the one thing about what you need to know, the Five of Swords it's one of those bitchcraft and manipulation cards. And the final card is the Queen of Wands. What's the neighborhood like there? Because I have a feeling, oh, God, do you remember Mrs. Kravitz? She was on one of the old 1960s sitcoms, whether it was My Favorite Martian or Bewitched, she was the nosy one. Uh-huh. Do you have neighbors?
Like, I've only been here a short period of time, so I haven't met a whole lot of people. Mm-hmm. I'm a pretty private person too, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. You should stay private, but there is just somebody in the neighborhood who may not be comfortable with kids that you're working with, but she's the one that everybody knows she fusses. So if she tries anything, the rest of the people are going to say, get off his back.
Good.
But just be aware of that. Okay.
Okay.
And there's one, I'm immediately seeing one, a kind of a grandfatherly type who is going to end up, it's going to take about 4 months to meet him, but he's going to be someone who's a bit of a mentor for you.
Man, so there's this guy, I honestly, there's this guy, and it's funny you should say that. There's this guy I ran into. I was like, it was literally 2 days after we moved in, and like, here's this brand new neighborhood, beautiful park across the street. So I took my son there to go play, and it was like, it was right out of a movie. It was the only way I could describe this place, because it was just this perfect park for this kid. I was like, wow, something feels different about this place. And up comes this fellow and introduces himself, and he talked to me, and I was like, wow, like I've never had anybody ever come up to me and talk to me and be friendly. Like everywhere I've ever lived before has always been not that nice, really. And he just introduced me and introduced me to all the people there, and it was just such a nice guy. Maybe that's who you're talking about. But you're telling me he's not for another few months yet, so interesting.
So there could be somebody, you say it's a new neighborhood, maybe he's going to move in. You know, one of the things that you have to be willing to do if you're going to be a real intuitive is you listen to spirit, and you don't try to tell spirit, well, I'm not sure I should say that, or are you sure? Because that means your ego's getting in the way. You know, now I admit, even the best of us are only 85% accurate. The only 100% accurate is God, and he's not doing phone readings on podcasts tonight. But, you know, there are times that you just have to say what you say. There was a woman in another one of my Canadian shows, and I saw a couple of things that were kind of challenging, and I told her. And she gets up from my table, she looks at me and she says, you suck, and she walks away. Well, okay, fine. Next time I'm back at that same venue, she's the first one in my chair. She said, last time I said you sucked, I said, yes, I remember, because you told me that I was going to take in a boarder, and then I was probably going to want to sell my house. And I thought that was all bull. But then my daughter got pregnant and moved home, and now I want to sell my house to raise my grandson. And I still don't like you, but I want to know what else you see. Don't shoot the messenger. You know? So there's a whole new adventure for you in this new place. Yes, you're solid. Yes, you're going to be doing what you need to do. Relax. You're made for it. Not going to lose it.
Okay, good. Thank God, because I've lost so many jobs. And this one, well, I'm heading into year four now, and I don't want to lose it. Guess great. Okay, so there you go. Like, that was what we call a very happy reading. Like, there was nothing negative in there at all. I can't believe it, except for that nosy neighbor I'll have to look out for. Look out. Any idea what she looks like?
All readings are dupe. She's the kind of person who thinks her aura don't stink, is what I'm going to tell you. That she should run the neighborhood. And if she doesn't like something, then everyone needs to change it. So she's one of those very tight-faced people, you know, that you can tell the smile is not really a smile, and she's not really there behind her eyes. She's watching to see what else needs to be done. We've all run into them.
Oh, yeah. I'm used to that.
You know.
I'll certainly watch out for that, Corby. 100%.
Right. If I had to compare, she's more like Mrs. Dursley than Dolores Umbridge. Probably Harry Potter.
Oh, my God. So we had The Wizard of Oz, we had Harry Potter. Like, yep. It's just a whole potpourri of pop culture here tonight, really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one closing question for you, because you've been wonderful. Thank you so much for that reading, by the way. Thank you. But seriously, that's awesome. And very reassuring to me. I'll sleep a little easier tonight, knowing that the four walls, well, I'll be honest, there's many more than four. This place is huge. I don't want to go ever. I'm definitely going to sleep a little better, knowing that. And it's been in the back of my mind, especially lately. We've been going through some rough times, so I'm happy to hear that. But in parting with you, I want to make sure that there's any other message you want to say to people. You know, say I'm a budding psychic. Let's say I can't even fake it. Like, I wouldn't even know how to even start saying I'm a psychic, because I don't feel like I got that gift. And if I do have it, it's probably tucked away somewhere, hidden underneath that old psyche of mine. But let's just say that I really, really wanted to start doing this and start getting better and starting to learn. What would be your, say, Cole's note, so to speak, okay, on just getting started? Because I know there's probably some people out there who feel like they may have a gift and they just feel overwhelmed. Like, how do I even start this? Like, where do I go? What do I do? What would be your first step, so to speak, for people?
Okay. You got to do the boot camp. And the boot camp is ground, center, and shield. You've got to know how to do that. Grounding is getting yourself steady. Centering is you just pull your energy in so you're like the weeble, the wobbles, but doesn't fall down. And shielding, learn to bring that energy up around you. Okay? Because I have had to handle too many people who have messed with Ouija boards when they didn't know how to do that. I've had two gibbering teenagers who came to me because they put their hands on the planchet and they said, "Who's there?" and spelled very fast backwards was, "I have an axe and I'm here to kill you." That's not Uncle Danny. So get yourself some of the books that do the best thing. The one that I learned with is called Opening to Channel. It's by Sanaya Roman and Dwayne Packer. It's still around. And remember, I don't come from a family that does this. You know, I mean, my brother doesn't even admit I still do this. He says I'm a motivational speaker to his friends. So I had to forge this road myself. That's one of the best ways to do it. And remember, keep at it. You keep notes. I said this. Was it true? Was it not true? Why was it true? Why was it? You're going to have to keep your scientific notebook and give yourself time. It's like any other skill. You've got it. But remember, even if someone is a piano prodigy, they have to play their scales and learn to read music. Same with you guys.
Guys, don't you forget, don't you dare forget that tonight's guest is an author as well. Make sure you check out her books, Clean Out Your Life Closet, The Psychic Yellow Brick Road, and You've Got the Magic, Who Needs a Genie? I'll connect all three of these books in the show notes, and I'll make sure I say a very thankful good night to you, Corby. Take care.
Thank you. Take care of yourself.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast, as well as the ever-popular para-joke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.